Amen. Kids, you can be dismissed tonight. Nursery. Amen. We get to get out of here. God bless our workers. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15 tonight. Continue going through our doors. So satanic activity that we allow sometimes the devil to come in. The last couple we've discussed was the godless counsel and humanistic training. And the last week we talked about traumatic experiences. Well, tonight I want to talk about the door of rebellion against authority. The truth is, each and every one of us in here, whether we like to believe it or not, man, woman, boy, or girl, we all have authority, amen? You can read the Bible and you can see that there is an authority structure set up for each and every one of us. And whether we like to believe it or not, we do have someone who is always over us, whether it be the Lord God, whether it be our husband, our mom, our dad, whoever it might be. We all have an authority in here tonight. And can I say, because of that, we all have the ability to rebel against authority. And if you're like me, I find myself oftentimes, in my past and even in my present sometimes, rebelling against authority. You say, you do that? Well, do you sin? Do you do things God tells you not to do? Bluntly, you know what you're doing? You're rebelling against God's authority. When we read our Bible and we see that there's things we clearly should not be doing, yet we still choose to do it, listen, it doesn't matter how we feel about it. It doesn't matter if it makes us feel good. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. And if we choose to partake of something that God says is wrong, I don't believe we're backslidden. I don't really like that word, to be honest. It is a biblical word. But I think it's too light. I think we take it too lightly. I think, yeah, you're backslidden, but you're also just plain rebellious. And I think if we were to look in the mirror and say, you know, it's real, the backslidden word, it gets you off the hook a little bit. Don't make it sound so bad. But man, when you look in the mirror and you say, you're just rebellious, there's a little bit different than say, I've been backsliding or I'm just plain old what? Rebellious. And folks, listen, tonight I want us to understand that if we've opened this door of rebellion against authority in our lives, and please, don't take anything offensive that I'm going to preach, that I'm going to teach. Everything's going to be right out of the Bible. You can take it up with God. Don't get mad at me. I promise you, I'm not making none of this stuff up. I'm just saying that we all do have authority. When we go to work and we get hired on, what do we have at work? A boss man. We have to respect them. We have to do what they ask. Why? Because they are the authority figure. And if we choose not to do that, then what happens? Well, we don't know. We could get wrote up. We could get fired. And ultimately, we could lose our paycheck. We could lose our money. Listen, everywhere we go, there's authority. What if it's just the authority to God? What happens when we disobey God? Well, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not what, church? Mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. Folks, listen, rebellion is a very real thing, and it's rampant in America and in the church today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you so much for dying on the cross for us. Lord, thank you for the sweet visits we had today. Lord, with the families that haven't been able to be here for a while, thank you for the ones who are here now. Lord, I ask you now to, Lord, just cleanse me of sin tonight. Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Allow me to only speak what it is that you would have me to speak. God, use me as a vessel to reach to your people tonight. I want your people to hear from you. And Lord, everything we say and do, honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 1. Well, I want to read the story just so you get the background here. I'm sure you know it. The Bible says, Samuel also said unto who? Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. So right there in verse number 1, what we see is an authority structure issued right there. In verse number 1, Samuel said to Saul, listen, God sent me. So we see that God is the authority over Samuel. And really and truly, Samuel's a priest here. Samuel's the priest. Saul was anointed king. Samuel's obeying the voice of the Lord. And Samuel is telling Saul, because I am giving you the blessing that God has given me to give you, because God has sent me to anoint you, you, Saul, need to obey the voice of the Lord. But Saul, in his heart, you know, Saul was a pretty prideful dude. You know his story. I mean, real prideful dude. Oftentimes, Saul liked to do things Saul's way, and he caught himself in a mess a lot of times. Anyone want to testify? Just say amen. All of us have been there. Verse number 2, thus saith the what, church? The Lord of hosts. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them until them 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. Now, right now, it sounds like Saul is about to do what God told him to do. In his mind, he's laying wait. You can probably hear he's got the opportunity. See, Saul understood when God said go do something, he had had experience before that God didn't just tell him to do something without going into that battle with them. Saul knew that God had already made a way for him to do what he asked him to do. And right here, it sounds like Saul's about business. He said, you better get out of here because I'm here to destroy everyone. And if you get in my way, you're going down too. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took who, church? The king of the Amalekites. What's the next word? Alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. Do you see how quickly God realized that Saul disobeyed him? One verse later, the Lord said, I wish I never would have granted him kingship over Israel. It repenteth me that I even put him in that position. Folks, how do you think God feels about you and I as sons and daughters of God Almighty who have taken the blood and the name of Jesus Christ and covered our sins? How do you think God feels about us as his children who have a copy of his holy word? And when we refuse to live by it, how do you think God feels about us? See, folks, my Bible teaches me that God is a just God. He's no respecter of persons. I believe as much as God hated rebellion when Saul rebelled, I think God hates rebellion just as much today, if not more, because his only begotten son Jesus had not yet died for rebellion then. But he has died now, and I think he hates it today when we choose to rebel against him. I think he hates it. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel said unto Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. See, what Saul had in his mind here was, not only am I going to kill everybody, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be this big bad king. I'm going to capture this king alive. And I'm going to take all the best of the best, and I'm going to offer it up a sacrifice to God. Folks, God did not tell him to do that. God said, Saul, I want you to kill everyone, everything that has Amalekites stamped to it. Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee to a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And here it is, folks, pay attention. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what, church? Sacrifice. Let's say it again. Behold, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. Here it is. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have what, church? For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So here it is. Saul is out here. He's given a very specific instruction from the Lord. Kill everyone. And the people's like, well, Saul, don't you think it'd be kind of neat if we captured the king alive and took of the best of the best and offered it up to sacrifice? And pretty soon, you know, the spirit warreth against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, just like us today. And the old devil saying, yes, Saul, God will be pretty impressed if you can take him alive. I mean, who else could catch the king alive and bring him back? No king went down alive, by the way. If you study history, a king died by the sword. Look how King Saul, he fell on his what? His own sword when it was time for him to go. It wasn't right for a king to be taken alive. That was like the worst of the worst for a king, was to be taken alive. So here he said, hey, I'm going to take this king alive, and I'm going to take the best of their sheep, the best of their rams, everything good that they've got, and I'm going to offer it unto the Lord. Well, folks, did God care about any of that? Can I say that there's times in my life when God has given me specific instructions through his word and through great prayer, and look, if God tells me how to do something, I better do it that way. There may be some other way that I might think might be better, but if God has laid it out in black and white for us, guys, listen, we've got to obey the voice of the Lord. We cannot continue to choose to rebel. I'm talking about as a parent. If I don't take God's standard for how to raise my children, I am in rebellion. I'm not doing justice for my sons. I'm not doing justice for my daughters. I'm not doing justice for my wife, putting her through that turmoil because I'm listening to everybody else on how I should be raising my children instead of listening to what God said. God's very specific on how we ought to be raising our children. He said, spare the rod. What are you going to do? You're going to spoil the child as they get a little bit older. He said, hey, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Listen, I as a dad would be a fool to let my son go out and date and touch every girl in this town, knowing that his flesh is going to fail. What kind of daddy would I be? I'd be one that's rebelling against God and God alone. I'd be a fool. And folks, can I say, if you're choosing to raise your children your way and not God's way, you're rebellious. And you're going to be held accountable. And turmoil is going to happen. And things are going to happen. And you're going to want to blame this person and that person. Look, I've been there. I've made decisions as a parent. I'm still young. I'm 33 years old. And trust me, I'm learning every single day what I should have done different with that one. I'll never do with this one. You know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have more than one kid, you know, I make mistakes with this one, but I promise you I'll never make it with that one. You live to learn, right? But look, here's the deal. What if I don't live to learn and I just anticipate, oh, well, everyone around me is doing it this way. Well, when my daughter comes home and says, Daddy, I'm pregnant, and she's 15 or 16, and I say, well, honey, didn't we tell you not to do that? No, I let her do it. Who's at fault? Mom and dad or the little girl who should have had a mom and dad that she could have trusted to keep her out of that situation? Y'all okay tonight? Folks, this is real. The devil's after your children just as much as you are, if not harder. The devil wants those babies' hearts, and it's up to us to protect them. The scripture is clear in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. If there's ever been a time in our lives that we have opened the door to rebellion toward those in authority in our lives, that door needs to be closed. Folks, listen, first of all, do you think the world really cares about your children as much as they say they do? You know, your children come home to you, and trust me, I get it all the time. Well, such and such has this, such and such gets to do. I don't care what they get to do. I am not going to stand before God on their account. I'm going to stand before God for you. And I don't care what they get to do. It doesn't matter. Hey, I know what I got to do. And I know what I did because I got to do it. You know why? Because the flesh is always going to fail us. Amen. The flesh is real. Folks, the devil's real and he's after us. It might have been a time in our teenage years that we rebelled against the authority of our father, our mother, our youth director, our pastors of our churches. Remember, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God tells us that the source of that rebellion is motivated by satanic powers. When we rebelled, we opened the door to a rebellious spirit. You listen, when in the Bible do you find the first time someone rebelled? When was it? It was in the garden, was it not? Who convinced and lied to Eve to go and take that fruit to her husband and convince him? Who convinced them to do that? Satan did. He lied. Who convinces us that the things that we're trying to do good, oh, well, if you'll just give them a little bit of space, maybe they'll come home and they'll be happy. Maybe your children will want to be around you if you'll just bend a little bit. Hey, don't bend, because they're going to break. Don't bend. Please don't bend. Stand strong. Fight a good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. Folks, God's way always wins. It always wins. Through the years of counseling people, I've had come across ladies that could not and would not submit to their husbands. But before I upset some ladies here, can I say this, ladies? If your husband, and again, from experience, I can tell you this, I've never had an issue with my wife submitting to me if I'm submitting to God and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, if she knows I'm not, why would she submit to me? Men, why would your wife submit to you if you can't submit to God and be the husband that you need to be to her? Love her like Christ loved the church. You say, how much love is that? Well, he died for it. She better know that she's first and foremost the most important thing in your life next to God himself. Not your children first. Hey, you didn't have them children without her. Y'all all right? I'm being honest. You want your wife to submit? Listen, God designed her and made her that way. But he also made you to submit to him so that you could lead her. And I promise you, any time that I've ever had an issue in my marriage with that, it's when I was doing wrong, Brother Scott. And we might think, well, she just... No. You are the head of the home, man. And you ought to take that responsibility and don't take it lightly. God put you there for a reason. And God gave you that wife to love unconditionally, and nothing should be more important than her. When she talks, you need to listen. What she has to say is important. And you know what? When she starts seeing that out of you, when she starts seeing that God is important and that she's important, listen, she will want to love you more than you've ever been loved before. That's how God made it. Amen? That's the God we serve. But all over, we've seen wives that could not submit, husbands that could never get along with their bosses. You've seen them. I'm just not going to listen to that boss man. Why is that? Who's in charge out there? The boss man or the guy underneath? No. It's the boss man that's in charge. It doesn't matter how we feel about him. He can say what he wants to. Why? Because he's the what? He's the boss. He can do what he wants because why? He's the boss. He can put who he wants where he wants them. Why? Because he is in charge. You agreed to take his money at the end of every week to do a job for him. Who are we to complain about that? And if you don't like it, don't disrespect the man. Go get another job. But it ain't going to be any different if the rebellion's in your heart. It's going to be the same way. You are the problem. It's not the boss man. It's not going to be the next three boss men that you're going to be mad at. It's you in your heart do not like authority. God designed us like that. God designed us to respect authority. How about men who are always struggling with their pastor's authority? And listen, can I say this? I do believe in pastoral authority, not because I'm a pastor. I can tell you this, without my pastor, I would not be standing on this stage right now. I can tell you right now, 6-7 years ago, I almost made one of the biggest mistakes of my life. A man came and he said, hey, I'd like you and your wife to come to Ohio with us and start a church. And I'm telling you, like I told you before, if you've ever been to Seward and you've lived there, it's a beautiful place, but when wintertime comes, man, you'll think anything's God's will to get out. I'm telling you right now, you're ready to go. And you're thinking, Ohio, okay, it's a little bit cold there, but hey, we can deal with it. Maybe this is God's will for us to go out here and help this man start the church. I went to my pastor, thank God. I sat down with him. I said, look, I think the Lord's calling us to such and such. He said, well, I think you're crazy. Just like that. And he was my father-in-law also, so he could talk to me like that. But he said, hey, I think you're making a terrible decision. A couple months later, that preacher flew all the way back up to Alaska to meet with us again. And I'm telling you, in my mind, these couple months, I'm looking for houses. I'm trying to do what Drew wants to do. I'm ready to go. I'm looking for houses, looking for work in Ohio. And he says, hey, so you coming or you not? And I said, man, I just don't know. He said, well, you know, I really think that you should pray about it. I think you should come with. And he left a couple days later. And I'll tell you what, my pastor looked at me and he said, Drew, there's some things you don't know about him. He said, 5 years down the road from now, he won't even be preaching out of the same Bible. I said, nah. Folks, you want me to tell you a secret? Today he's on a show called Recovering Fundamentalist, bashing the King James Bible. Hey, you say, well, why didn't you go? But by the grace of God, I had a pastor who I trusted and who I was willing to. And I'm not saying that I can make your decisions. Listen, it ain't like that. But I can tell you this, I do pray for you. And I believe my pastor prayed for me. And I think that he begged God to show us truth. And he did. And he led me and helped me make one of the most important decisions of my life. Had I went there, there's no telling where I would be today. I can tell you where I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be where God intended me to be 7 years down the road. But folks, what if I'd have had an authority problem? We can trace this rebellion back to a time in that person's life where they opened the door to rebellion, and that rebellious spirit has never been dealt with. A man came to me and said that he could not get along with anyone in a position over him. He struggled over state patrolmen pulling him over with laws that were made, such as speeding laws and seatbelt laws. He could not get along with bosses in his life, and he really did not like his pastor telling him what is best for his family biblically. In fact, when he would hear strong instruction, he would choose to do just the opposite because he did not like anyone telling him what to do. Folks, you ever met anyone like that? They're all over. This was all traced back to his high school years. His rebellion against his parents came to a head one night. He fought his father. He hit him. He beat him up. He threw his mother across the yard as she tried to get him off of his father. He then told his father to never try and stop him from doing something that he wanted to do, and that he had no right to tell him he could not go out or do what he wanted or see who he wanted anymore. Folks, listen. That's rebellious. Now I'm going to talk to the kids. I've already talked to your parents. Now I've already gotten on to your parents, okay? But now I'm going to talk to you guys. Listen. Your mom and dad, when they tell you no, that don't mean they hate you. Don't let your friends tell you a lie. Please. I'm begging you. I'm talking to you teenagers here, okay? When they tell you no, that simply means one of two things. Either they've been down that road before. Most of the time, that's what it is. They've been down that road before. They do know better. You do not know better. Y'all okay? I'm talking to teenagers. All your parents can say amen right now, okay? I'm trying to help you here. Help me. Help me out here. Listen, you do not know better than they do. God gave them to you to raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if God did not already equip them to do it, it would just be a waste. God trusted your mom and your dad for you, not for anybody else. Don't give your parents a hard time telling them, well, they get to do it and they get to do it. Hey, ask them how their real life is. They might look happy on the outside, but you know something? I looked happy on the outside, but on the inside, I wish to God that I had a mom and dad at home every day that would love me and care for me and that I could just talk to sometimes. And you guys want to take advantage that God has actually given you parents at home. I'm just being honest here, okay? Y'all okay? Listen, tomorrow you could wake up and mom and dad could be out of your life. I dealt with a family in Seward years ago, 2014, Valentine's Day night. Mom of eight had dinner with her family on a Friday night. Kissed her husband goodnight. She got up to walk to the restroom and fell over dead on the floor, 38 years old. Eight kids in the house. Eight kids. You know what? You think any of those babies in that house thought for a second when they kissed their mom goodnight that night that was going to be the last time? I can tell you today, every time you talk to them and they see a picture of their mother, tears will flow down their eyes and they'll say, I wish I could just see her one more time. I wish I could just hear her voice one more time. I wish I could tell her sorry for how rough I was on her, for how rebellious I was when she just tried to love me and nurture me and guide me and lead me down the straight and narrow. I wish I could just tell her, thank you. That's their story. Your story is, hey, your moms and dads are right here. You still have that opportunity. Tell them thank you. Stop giving your parents a hard time. I'm not being mean tonight. I hope you understand. I'm not being mean tonight. I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And it is so anti-God, it ain't even funny. When we close the door, talking about the same man, when we close the door and dismiss the spirit of rebellion in warfare prayer, this man became a submissive, humble, God-fearing, broken vessel for God to use. He went back and repented for all of his past acts of rebellion. But here's the sad part, folks. His father had already passed away, but he was able to make it right with his mother. Could you imagine not being able to tell your dad sorry? Could you imagine not being able to say sorry to your mother? Hey, I have a daddy right now that would give every gut in his body if he could see his dad one more time to just say sorry. Say sorry for what? Being rebellious? Saying things that he shouldn't have said to his mom, to his dad? Cussing his own parents because they tried to tell him, son, what you're doing is wrong, but I'm grown, I can do what I want. Hey, I guarantee if you could sit down with him, he'd tell you, I'd give anything to tell my daddy sorry. Anything. But instead, he chooses other means to try to cover up the pain, but wakes up the next morning and guess what? Pain's still there. We're living in a rebellious day. The truth is, we ought to let God be true and every man a liar, is what the Bible says. Amen? We have a government that tells children that they do not have to do what their parents say. Folks, listen. We have a government right now, and look, we're not talking about Republican, Democrat. I'm talking about corruption in our school systems, local governments, telling kids, it's okay if you don't want to be a girl, you don't have to be a girl. Folks, where have we came? You know what that's called? Rebellion. It's rebellion against what? God. God fearfully and wonderfully made every single one of those little girls. God fearfully and wonderfully made every single one of those little boys, and He did not make a mistake. They do not have the right to change themselves because God did not mess them up. That's rebellion. But they're being told they can do what they want. 5 and 6 years old. We'll give you the hormones. We don't have to tell your parents. Folks, that's rebellion against God, is it not? We have a spirit of rebellion that is promoted in a godless society through authorities. Can I say, you can't trust all authority, by the way. I had a preacher tell me one time, I said, so I'm supposed to obey all authority. And he said it to me like this. He said, Brother Drew, when you know biblically that they're going against the authority, that's when you stop listening. Because God is the ultimate one that we are going to answer to. We have a nation that is fighting for its rights. We feel we have the right to live in sin and do what we want to do without any restraints or boundaries. Why? We feel that we have the right to live in sin because we are ruled by the spirit of rebellion. Can I say that spirit is from hell? Right out of the pits of a deep, dark hell, which, by the way, I'm not going there. I've seen it enter a young man, woman, father, or mother, and they began to act completely different than they ever did before. They began to do things that they said they would never do, and then allowed their children to do things in their homes that they said they would never allow in their homes. Folks, you've seen it. Somebody can be doing just fine today, and tomorrow you're like, what in the world happened to so-and-so? Can I say, it's the devil. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. It is the devil. He is our enemy. We're almost done. It is a strong spirit and must be dealt with by closing the door to it and keeping the door closed. The spirit of rebellion will help in opening many of the doors that are described in this chapter. If this spirit of rebellion is dealt with thoroughly, many of the other doors will be easily closed and victory in other areas can and will be experienced. We must be honest with ourselves by answering these questions. Has this door ever been opened in my life? And do I experience difficulty with submission and authorities? Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Miss Amanda, could you come to the piano and just play anything? It don't matter. Just anything slow, it don't matter. Oh, okay, it's okay. It's okay. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Listen, I wonder tonight, with no one looking around, if anyone here tonight is dealing with this door open. And I dare say, a crowd this big, there's more than likely multiple individuals. Hands are going up already. Listen, folks, if you're living in rebellion right now, we don't have to have a piano for you to come to this altar and ask the Lord to help you with that rebellion. This altar is wide open, folks. There's people here that are praying for you. Mamas and daddies, listen, if you are living in rebellion and you think, hey, I've opened the door of rebellion in my life, folks, listen, you need to close that door. I wonder if there'd be someone here that would say, Brother Drew, that door is definitely open in my life. There's one right there. Hey, listen, I just want to pray for you. Folks, listen, that door can be closed. There's another right there. Listen, that door of rebellion is so real, and all you got to do is crack that thing open a little bit, and Satan is coming all the way in. I can tell you this, though, there's hope. You can close that door. Jesus Christ came and bled and died, suffered and was bruised for our iniquities. And He died on that cross for that sin. And folks, all you got to do is ask the Lord Jesus, bind the devil off of the situation. I say it often when I pray. I like to bind the devil in Jesus' name because I know that the devil has no authority now. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, some have came, some have not. But Lord, we know that many hearts and lives, no doubt, have been touched tonight, hopefully by your words and not mine. God, I ask you now to continue to work in the lives of your people, Lord, such a precious bunch of people here tonight. And Lord, how sad it would be to go out of here, Lord, with these doors open and to continue to consciously let Satan work in our lives. Lord, I ask you now to be with us in this next few minutes, Lord, as we meet with these teens and their parents. I ask you to bless everything that's said and done. Thank you so much for the ones who are here. Lord, bless the ones who are not. Be with the ones who are sick. Lord, the ones who are battling cancer, the ones all over that are getting ready for surgery. Lord, I just ask you to reach down and touch each and every one of your people, Lord, tonight. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to be in church. Lord, bring us back to our appointed place on Sunday. Lord, keep us safe on the roads home tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.